Hey, Katie.
Okay, Teresa Marie.
I was just saying. I'm
the
on
high of newborn life.
I was gonna say I'm on just a few hours of sleep. That's what I'm on, which is fine. I did just fall asleep. Gil was like, "Let me run to the gym really quick for his second gym session of the day."
Shut the fuck up.
He's going back to work next week, so.
So he's like taking full advantage.
Yes. And I'm going to the Devil's game tonight with my mom. So he's on baby duty. Which is fine. I'll handle it.
You have but to balance out.
He's been a really good sleeper.
That's fantastic.
As far as he takes three hour naps, wakes up, eats. We change him. Maybe have to entertain him for a little bit. And then he goes back down. And at night, it's very wake up, eat, change, rock, sleep. But last night, I honestly think I jinxed myself. I normally do bedtime. So we do a bath and then bedtime. And then I'll do the first feeding. So it's around between midnight and 1. Gil will do the second feeding. And then I'll wake up with him around 6.
Okay.
And I said to Gil, I was like, I'm just really tired today. Do you think you could do the, can we switch? You do the first feeding and you wake up with him and I'll just take the middle of the night feeding. So he woke up around 12:45. Gil put him back in the bassinet at 1:30 and he just started crying. And Gil's like, it's fine. He'll fall asleep. I'm like, no.
No, he won't, sir.
No. He's still too young to actually cry it out. Moaning and grunting is one thing. Crying is different.
You know, this whole crying out method, too, I think it has to be done.
You're also supposed to, go in there and soothe them, not pick them up. He's, he can't be soothed yet.
No, he's way too little for any type of sleep training. And, any sleep training person would tell you that. I do still think, too, because, we followed taking care of babies for Leah. I did not do any type of formal sleep training with Liam, and he probably is our best sleeper. Which says something because that kid never fucking slept. But with Leah, she would cry. We'd go in her, we'd hold her quickly, be like, I love you, but I'm putting you back in. And we would tell her. She was just tough, but we screwed her up from the get-go.
Yeah.
But even last night, Liam was moaning and it got to the point where I was like, no, this is starting to become a cry. He's 16 months old. I'm still going to go in and soothe him. You don't just let
also,
him freak out.
I'm not gonna sleep if he's in the bassinet right next to our bed.
No,
he's crying. No. I'm not gonna sleep anyway. I may as well get up. So I got up and he was wide awake.
Oh, Ace is ready to go.
It took me an hour to get I think I got him back down at 2:30. And then he was up around 5 to eat, and then he didn't go back down to 6:15. And at that point, I went back to bed, but then he was up again at 7:30. Yeah. Gil took him downstairs. But he normally is really good about eat, crap, or piss, whatever, go to the bathroom, and then get rocked to sleep. It's very routine. And last night he was just awake for whatever reason. So
we ain't doing it tonight, guys. Buckle up, club no sleep, bitches. We partying.
Hell yeah.
That's when I would just crank out the audiobooks, because otherwise I'm like,
yeah, I need to I need to, because I'm listening to an audiobook right now, and obviously I'll probably finish it by next week so we can talk about it. My friend Gab recommended it to me. It's called The Correspondent by Virginia Evans. And it's basically, at least so far, it is all, letters and emails, between this woman and, different people, in her, life. And she's, she thinks that, the art of, the written word. She kind of explains it to somebody who's when I die, when you die, your memories and your words they'll fade into the abyss, because it's a very text and call and whatever. So she handwrites and emails, because then her words can live on, and she just likes the art form of the written word, I guess. So you learn about her, you're learning about her life through these letters she's writing and through the people she's corresponding with. So I don't really know, kind of picking up a little bit where it's going, but she has received 2 hate letters from someone, and you don't know who it is. So she worked with a judge. So I assume that it's somebody who, like, they maybe got a case wrong or something like that. So I'm waiting to see how that plays out. She's also, like, in the midst of, like, going blind. And she's, like, kind of, like, discussing her, like, I don't know. It's pretty good so far. My friend Gab recommended it. She's like, you have to do the audiobook because, like, I feel like reading it probably wouldn't get the story across the same way. So TBD, but that is the audiobook I'm listening to. And I really should be listening when I'm awake at night with him.
I only did it because, like, I was so afraid to fall asleep. And yeah. I'm someone who, like, if I'm tired, we all know how I operate. If I'm tired, I'm going to bed. Like, I can't help it. Like, I'm just done. So I'm like, no, you got to stay up.
I just am so focused, like, on him that I feel like I'm not paying attention to anything else. Like, he's, like, grunting. And he's, like, what are you doing? Like, especially when he's eating, like, he'll just be staring, like, directly at you and just be like, while he's eating.
I love when they, like, stare through your soul and they crap. And I'm like, that's cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, wait. We'll get into the book in a second. This is really funny. You're going to think this is funny. So Gil took the first, the first feeding or whatever that I normally do. When I, like, go, like, you know, and I told you how he was, like, he started crying again, so I got out of bed. And Gil's like, just, like, leave him. He's like, he crapped all over me, and then he pissed all over me. I was like, what? And he's like, yeah. He's like, I was changing him, and then he started shitting and pissing. And so I'm, like, laughing, so, like, he's completely changed. Like, I'm like, okay, like, so he obviously crapped all over his, like, onesie, whatever. So this morning I go in the room, I'm like, why does it smell like shit in here? And I, like, look in the laundry basket. He'll just, like, threw the onesie with crap on it into the laundry basket. And then I go downstairs and I'm like, hey, I saw that you put it in the laundry basket. So, yeah, what else was I supposed to do with it? I was like,
wash?
Literally, and, like, you guys, our wash. Okay, so the way that my upstairs is, it's, like, Ace's bedroom. And then, like, 10 feet. To the washing machine, and then, like, 2 feet to my bedroom. So it's not like he had to, like, go, like, three stories down to the basement. No. Or, like, no, he literally had to walk past the washing machine to get back into our bedroom. And I was like, I found it this morning. The whole bedroom smelled like crap. And I was like, and then it was, like, dry and, like, caked onto the onesie.
Yeah.
And it's one of the good onesies. So I was like, we're
saving this. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of the magnetic ones that we, like, love at night because it's so easy. Yeah. And they're so expensive. So I'm like, we're not getting rid of the $60 sleep onesie. Yeah, so I was, like, laughing. He's like, well, what was I supposed to do with it? I was like, I don't know, throw it in. Even if you didn't start the wash, just throw it in there.
You can close the lid so that the smell paint. Men.
He's like, okay, next time. I was like, well, hopefully there's not a next time, but, I mean, it's a baby. There will be a next time.
Oh.
Anyway. Sorry, had to get that out. The Sundown Motel by Simone St. James. I'm going to let... This was a Katie book club pick.
I'm really excited to hear your thoughts. And just for some background, we know I'm a paranormal girly, and I do love a mystery. So, like, this is, like, my niche. Here I am. But I loved this so much, and Teresa and I talked about this briefly. Like, I went through her whole backlog. I'm almost done. And it's not, like, a big backlog, but it was just it's, like, an author that, like, if she 100% writes it, I'm 1000% going to read it. And I've only rated one of her books out of all that I've read. I think there might be 12 in total. I've only rated one, like, 3 stars. And I think it's more because it was just so predictable that I was like, girl, moan, honey, no. Like, this isn't, I expect a bit more. Like, I mean, it's still a good, I just like that all the stories are unique. I can't stand, like, the cookie cutter shit.
Okay. Yes.
So I'm gonna do the worst synopsis you're ever gonna hear.
I was gonna say, I'm gonna let Katie do the synopsis. Roll with it. I'm always bad at them anyway.
I need to figure out what her name is. Viv? No, that's the aunt.
And Carly. Which I kept forgetting her name was Carly.
Me too.
This is one thing that I wanted to say.
Like Carly.
No, and there was something. No, wait, no, sorry. Do the synopsis. Okay. We'll get into it.
So Carly leaves school, home, and is going to where her aunt Viv was last seen, was it 20 years ago? 35 years ago. Her Aunt Viv kind of up and left her hometown her whole life to move to this place, kind of had some other goals, pit stop along the way, but then all of a sudden out of the blue, she completely vanished. So Carly arrives, she feels a little lost in her life. So she's like, you know what? What better place to go than Fell, New York to figure out what the fuck happened to my aunt?
Yeah.
So she finds a place to live. She ends up seeing that the last job her aunt held was hiring. She takes the job.
Yes.
Chaos ensues.
Okay, chaos ensues. We love that. Yeah, so she takes the job, and there's a lot of paranormal shit that's going on. It was going down in 1982. It's going down in 2017. I think that's when the story takes place. Honestly, you would have to force me at gunpoint to work at this motel.
Even if I like took the job, right? Even if I took the job and showed up.
After that first night, I'm out.
I'm out. See you. Good fucking bye. I'm so gone. I will not come back. No, that paycheck is definitely not worth it.
Right. Like, I don't know. I think I'm out.
Like, I'm envisioning also, like, okay, think of if you haven't read it, I don't know why you're listening, but okay, sure. But like, I'm thinking of like an overpass, right? In like the seediest city you can think of off the top of your head. Like, it's just ratchet where it is. And then you just keep going a little further. And then on your right is this disgusting rundown motel that you couldn't pay me $1 million to stay at. That's literally what I was envisioning this whole time.
Yeah. And like, it's the town of Fell isn't like a bad town. The motel was built because there was supposed to be an amusement park put in. The amusement park never happened. And while the construction for the motel was taking place, a woman's body was dumped at the construction site. And that kind of like triggers this, like the paranormal aspect to it. And so Betty's the first death. And I think it's like a few years prior to Viv getting to Fell.
Yes.
But like she's working the night. First of all, a young 20-something girl working a night shift at a seedy motel.
Yeah.
First red flag.
And like, girls. I feel like, and again, I feel like she's such like an inquisitive mind that like a part of her, I feel like she couldn't help herself, right? Like she's kind of lost. She thought she wanted to be an actress. She had even getting to Fell, like she almost got molested or assaulted. Yeah. Like a lot was going on. She kind of just needed to land somewhere. Her savings was basically non-existent at this point. So it's like, well, I'm kind of forced to hunker down at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the only job available. But, and you find out as like that, because I do like the timeline flop, right? There's flashbacks. She's got such an inquisitive mind that to her, it's like, well, one, I need the money. So like, I really don't know what else to do, but I would have been like, let's go find another job. But I guess in a tiny town, maybe you can't find work that easily. But she doesn't let shit go. Like, I would have never done what Viv had gone through. And even if I was like, you have no other option but to keep this job, I would have locked myself in that office, shut the blinds, literally checked in and checked out people. And if I even had like an inkling of suspicion of like random people coming in, I'd be like, I don't give a shit. Do whatever you want. Just leave me the hell out of it for the paycheck.
Literally, like, I would have 100% same thing. Like, you could not have paid me to even open that door for anybody.
And what I like about her writing, because I was even texting you about this with, like, one of her other books, the one I gave 3 stars, like,
yeah,
I feel like her books are visceral, right? Like, I could feel the seediness. I can feel the creep factor.
Yeah.
So we have quite a few ghosts. We do have the ghost of, you do learn Betty is haunting the place.
Yes.
You have a really strange, mysterious guy showing up that checks in. Like, I have to stay here until my boss tells me where to go next. You have people having like an affair, which it's kind of funny how that's spun in the back end too.
Yeah.
It wasn't just an affair, it's blackmail.
Yeah.
You have a little boy who had drowned in the pool. So that's another death that has occurred on premise.
Mm-hmm.
And as he was being fished out, the guy that had saved him ended up having, I think, like a heart attack soon thereafter.
Yeah.
So those are two more ghosts. You have the guy that saved them, who was a hotel employee. He was a big smoker. So when you smell the cigarette smoke, you know he's around. And the little boy is also a ghost. And he's a little disturbing because he kind of like walks around saying like how he doesn't feel good. So it's just
like, because he like hits his head.
So like it's not even sad. It's just straight creepy. Like it gives.
Yeah, no. Yeah. It's not like a sad the kid died. It's a creepy, like a creepy child ghost.
Yeah. And then unfortunately, the family that owns the hotel or motel, we should say, you're kind of at a point where no one's going to buy it. It's too much to maintain, so we're going to keep it as is. It pulls in just enough to make it, but like there will be no upgrades. We're just like here to live. And no one wants to work the night shift because that's when all of the stuff starts going down.
And it's so funny too, because like, it's like, no, like the owners, the people, other people who work there, like no one like warns her, like, hey, they're like, oh, if anything like happens, just call the cops.
Yeah.
See ya.
Which the cops don't give a crap. And no. The only person on the night shift duty, shocking enough for the police force, is one female officer. Yeah. And it's because they don't believe a female should be on the force.
Right.
But I will say it's kind of funny how Viv just takes it upon herself to kind of like make this woman her friend.
Yeah, Viv's like, you're going to be my friend. Same thing with the private investigator who's like taking pictures of the people having the affair. She just is like, oh, okay, so like now we're friends. Like, yep. Viv's just like, oh, we talked once, we're friends. Yeah.
It is interesting because I feel like Viv just, again, boredom is setting in. She's kind of like, what the hell is actually happening around here? So she just kind of starts this whole investigative train. She does hear from her roommate that there's been a couple of deaths in the area, young girls. Not really the same MO, aside from the fact that they are murdered and kind of left in somewhat public
somewhere.
They're just dumped somewhere easily to be found. So she just starts to kind of dig into this. And it's, again, it's just like so funny how she just starts to like put these pieces together.
And then Betty goes crazy. And yeah, he uses like different names every time. And
he's just so, he's weird. Like, he would set my red flags off also. Like, who are you, dude?
Like, I wouldn't be like, oh, this guy's a murderer, but I would be like, oh, like, this guy maybe is not
to be trusted.
Like, as a young girl, like, I would not feel safe that he was, like, staying at the motel and I was here by myself. Correct. But yeah, like, I would have handled this, like, how Marnie is the private investigator, Alma is the police officer. I would have been like them, like, hey, like, this is too much for me to be dealing with, like, my, like, life. I don't want to be involved. If this man is bad, like, obviously he needs to be stopped, but, like, I don't want to be put on his radar. Like, they're very much like, hey, like, we think that you need to stop this investigation. You are putting yourself in real danger. There's, like, we believe what you're saying, yeah. But there's, like, no
time to let it go.
Yeah.
And it's 1980. So Alma's whole point is you can say what you want with your thoughts and beliefs, but I can't take this to my supervisors because it will jeopardize my whole career. And I kind of, I'm, because we're also youth, I can understand like the, I can hear myself.
You can hear yourself?
Yeah, so bad.
Hold on.
I just don't want it to come out echoey. Oh, wait, now it's better.
I muted.
Oh.
Try now.
Hello, hello, hello.
Yeah.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah.
Okay.
it's so because I moved positions and I, like, ripped out the headphones and the microphone from the computer, so everything just had to reset. I'm really sorry, guys.
But you know what I mean? Like, I get what where Alma's coming from. Like, she also tries to, like, downplay what she's saying on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Because she doesn't want her to continue. But to Alma's point, like, she can't turn to anyone with this information unless there's, like, legit concrete proof. Viv wants nothing to do with that. So she's like, well, F it. I'm just going to follow this guy. The fact that she, like, sneaks into, like, his backyard, like, is looking in his window, following on his path. She's smart. She's intelligent. She's putting it all together, which was really cool. And it really, again, visceral reaction. You were kept on the edge of your seat as she's following him on like his routes. And then like the fact that he even like stops at one point because he can like sense someone watching him.
Yeah. I was like, girl, you are being so not, like, she was not being conspicuous. No, like, she was being so obvious.
Yes. Like, and especially I feel like too, like, I don't know about you, but like if I'm intently staring at someone, people like tend to turn around and look, right? But like the less like obvious you act, and if you act like you blend and belong, it is true. Like then like you're kind of putting out like that perceived notion that you are supposed to be there. I mean, she even follows him to like the school. She's putting in like phone calls to parents. Like he just found his next target. She's writing letters, which is kind of crazy. The fact that she wrote the letter about the one girl that's going to be, like, that's basically like telling the parents, like, you need to protect your daughter. She was targeted by someone, like, this guy is not a good guy, blah, whatever.
Yeah.
Everyone dismisses it. And then lo and behold, that poor girl does pass away. I think the one thing, and I do love how the niece doesn't drop it, right? Because like she is her aunt's niece. Like,
yeah.
genes are strong there. I think it didn't bother me, but like it just kind of like ground my soul that because she kept picking the scab that was already healed over and everyone was quiet and like all was laid to rest. It started with Marnie, right? She gave them the film, gave her the film, which showed the barn where the car ended up being stored because that guy did go missing, right? Like that.
Yeah. So Simon and Viv go missing on like the same day, but Simon's wife never reports him missing because she assumes that he just left her, that he was like having an affair as like this like traveling salesman, that he just like left her for another woman. So she never reports him missing because she's like embarrassed. And then like 5 years later, she's like, maybe he is dead and she wanted to collect his life insurance. So that's when she files the missing persons report. And then like after that amount of time that you're missing, you can be declared dead. That's like the only reason why. And they're like, and Viv is, again, she's not in town that long. So like nobody in really town cares that much. Yeah. Like there was like, no, like she's presumed missing because her like jacket and her purse and like everything is like found at the Sundown Hotel in the office, but there's no like foul play.
I know, like her roommate takes 4 days to report her missing. Again, like she's a night shift girl in a small like it's a small town, but again, not a very crowded town.
Yeah.
So like the only people that really know her are like the seediest characters who also probably don't want to be noticed by anyone either. So like this girl just kind of falls off the map. Simon, same concept, but like no one's putting two and two together. No one really gives a shit. Hate to say it, but like that's kind of how it is. You do come to find that someone is checking into the motel also that has like another ulterior motive of why they're there. And he keeps, well, he comes later, but like she meets him in like the library or the archives as she's like trying to dig for some more information. He like keeps offering to help. Again, kind of a creepy character to him as well. Like I would not want to be in that archive room with him. But I feel like she's like, right, like, so now let's talk Carly. So Carly is banging down Alma's door, banging down Marnie's door. And these two ladies are stone cold, right? Like, we're not telling you anything. We barely even knew Viv. Who is that girl? Like, let it go. Like, kind of putting Carly down a little bit. And she's like, I literally keep finding things that loop me into you. Like, you knew my aunt. Like, what are you talking about?
Like, why? What are you not telling me?
Right. So I feel like, so I'm gonna just jump ahead to like the film. Right. So Marnie was taking photos. She was a private investigator hired to take photos. What you come to find out was extortion. So a man and woman had like a heist to like where the woman lures a man, has a bunch of sex with them. He's married, obviously. Then she blackmails him. That does flip the narrative a bit with Viv. And you will find out why in the end, how like she actually is able to escape because like, the blackmail money does come, but the girl runs away because, like, she sees the altercation between the guy and Viv, and he's about to hurt her. Ironically, Simon to save the day.
Yeah, Simon's like, I'm the only one in this town who's allowed to assault and batter women.
Get off of her. And that's the night kind of that sets in motion for Viv that she's like, if no one's going to do anything about Simon, I will handle this. And it's just so...
This part pissed me off a little bit. Like, Carly pissed me off. So when they find the body, and she's like, oh my god, my aunt murdered him. And then, like, she kind of, like, figures out, like, oh, he's a serial killer. He's killed people. My aunt kind of, like, did a service. Like, she's still, like,
service.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't care that Viv killed a serial killer who was assaulting and killing women. Like, I don't care that you killed somebody. I don't think that you should have to go to jail for, like, murdering a serial killer. Maybe that's crazy, but like Carly's like, oh, like, you know, she killed somebody, and then when Viv comes back and like turns her like self in eventually, so spoiler alert, Viv is alive, she like leaves for a little bit with the money
and the help of Marnie and Alma
to kind
of, like, spin this whole theory of like what happened.
And she ends up, like, basically, like, changing her name, doing all this stuff. And, like, she moves, like, back to Fell, like, years later. Like, nobody remembers her. It's, like, whatever. And she's, like, okay, like, I'm going to turn myself in now. Like, I would have kept my fucking mouth shut. Because even if they were, like, oh, Viv Delaney killed this guy, they think Viv Delaney is missing.
Yeah. That okay, so like let's go back. So like so Marnie finally just, I think Marnie was at like her wit's fucking end, right? Like maybe it's time. She gives Carly this film of like all the photos she took because she was Carly's kind of hoping that she could find Viv in one of the frames, which she does. Then she finds the barn. Obviously it was documented to make sure like where it was, that type of thing. A part of me, I know myself, I don't think I would have been able to open the trunk, right? Like, you know a body's in there, you see the dried blood underneath. But a part of me wishes that the guy opened it because, and that's really fucked up, right? Like, I'm making someone else do this because if you call the cops, you are now opening like this whole can of like legal worms of like, let's start investigating, right? Like, I know they potentially thought she could have been in there. There was a 50-50 chance.
Yeah.
Obviously it was not in there. So she was not in there. So like, I'm kind of with you. Like, I kind of almost wish Carly like just chilled for a second and was like, maybe I'd go back to whatever her face is, Marnie, and be like, okay, there is a body in there. I need to know who it is. Like, it's time. Like, come out, come clean. Like, let's talk about this. Like, right? Like, it's been hidden for that long. What are we doing here? I think at that point in time, too, my suspicions, again, would have been 50-50 to be like, my aunt's either alive or she's in that trunk. So before I start making phone calls to the police, like, what are we doing? Like, you know what I mean? I think would have, like propositioned it a bit differently.
Yeah, and she has this, like, moment of, like, almost being like, oh, my God, my aunt is the murderer. Like, she's the bad guy. Like, because she doesn't, at this point, know what Simon's done. But, like, in my head, I'm like, no, Mom. Like, she saved so many other women by, because we only know of four women that he killed. It's kind of implied that there are others.
Correct. And he probably would have continued. Like, he would have just kept going down this rabbit hole. So it's just, like, I kind of wish she went back to Marnie, because I think at that point, Marnie was basically cracking.
Yeah.
So she probably could have gotten more information. Because then all of a sudden, like, Viv just, like, rolls up and she's like, I've known you're in town. I know what you've been doing. Like, get in the car. Let's talk. And, like, I think especially for what Carly's been going through in life, like, it would have been nice to finally have someone that you can relate to. Granted, you do find out Viv had cancer. Because Carly's mom, Viv's sister, has passed away from cancer. Viv does imply that it's in the family. She should really go get checked, aka Viv has had it and now has it again. So, like, you don't even know how long she's going to live for. But I just, like, I don't know. Like, it was, I gave it 5 stars because I just thought it was an incredible read. But, like, the ending just made me so upset because it's like, I don't think Viv should, especially because she also has a cancer too. And like, we wanted to spin it this way. I almost wish they just would let her off. Like, it's been how long? He killed how many people? They're tying these murders back to him.
There was just no reason for her to turn herself in. She's a completely different person. Like, even if they found DNA and they were like, how would they have linked it back to her?
They couldn't have.
So, like, unless, like, Carly was like, oh, I'm going to turn my aunt in, like, which, whatever, she wouldn't have. I was like, there's no reason for Viv to be like, I'm done with this. I'm turning myself in. The only reason I think maybe she did was to be like, this cycle needs to be put to an end.
Yeah, like, it's done.
Which, like, I feel like there was like two things. Well, I want to say three things. Well, there is something that I want to say. Yeah. There's two things that I wish that we got more closure on. And it was like after, okay, so Simon gets killed, but Betty is still haunting the motel. Yes. And in my head, I'm like, why? Like, I feel like the Simon being killed should have been like this, like, release. And then I'm wondering now, after Simon's grandson dies of like an aneurysm, basically, like, Betty. I think Betty like freaks him out and he like, does that, like, I want to know that Betty is like released from this, or is she just set to haunt like these grounds?
I took it as that end came with her. I think, to me, this is how I read into it, right? She lingered because she was murdered and she didn't understand why. Mm-hmm. And she's pissed as shit, especially because he kept showing back up. And, like, I think he just kept aggravating her more and more. So, obviously, she didn't get to kill Simon. Viv did. So, I think, like, the fact that she stuck around because in her mind she was still unfinished business. And I think when she finally saw her opportunity to maybe not remain as a ghost, she took it out on the grandson, and then it should have been like, it was either put to rest then, or when it was demolished, it was done.
Yeah.
That's how I took it as. Okay.
And then the other thing that I guess, like, so Nick is staying at the motel. Mm-hmm. Nick is from Fell. I think it's like his brother, know, like 15 years prior, his dad comes home from work, murders his brother. Nick escapes out like the bedroom window, and like he eventually like leaves town, but he comes back, and the like as soon as he gets to like the motel, like that's the only place that he's been able to sleep in like the last like 15 years.
Yeah,
I thought that like their family, like that it was like
intertwined.
It was intertwined some way, and like it was kind of like this family curse that like mm-hmm. the dad like started experiencing, like maybe being haunted by the women. Like there was like some familial curse that had to be broken, because I was like, okay, like then what was kind of, I mean, like I get that he had just like a bad backstory, that's why he was at the motel, but I was like, okay, like where is this like getting tied up? Like I feel like there was like more about like Nick's backstory that I like needed more information on.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of with you on that. Like it alluded, there was so much you were learning about him, and a lot of speculation too, because then people were like, well, maybe he knew what was happening, that's why he got away. Yeah. And he does kind of come clean. He's like, it's not like my dad told me. He just like, I had this feeling.
Right.
So to me too, I'm like, why out of all the places, unless, and this is the only thing I could think of, he's traumatized, right? Like yeah. he had a terrible incident happen to him where he feels like he takes some ownership. And the only thing I can come up with in my mind is the ghosts sensed that and yeah. you would like leave him be.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I could have thought of with that. Like you are coming, because like, again, Betty trauma, little boy trauma. And then the guy who saved the little boy or tried to trauma. So like,
yeah.
you're recognizing trauma for trauma. And therefore you're letting him just kind of deal.
Yeah.
That's literally the only thing I could think of.
Yeah. And then, okay. So then Carly's roommate, Heather.
Yeah.
So like, I know that this is like a paranormal book, right? I was highlighting things the entire time. I'm like, Heather's dead. Heather's one of the girls. Heather's a ghost. That's a
good thought.
Because like when they meet, Heather is, she's like, oh, I'm perpetually cold. Like I'm always like, she's always like dressed in like a parka. And like, she's like, she doesn't go out during the day. Like she really only goes out at night. Like, and she's like, real, like when she gets like too invested in the investigation, she like starts like being like, oh, I need to get on my meds. This isn't good for me. Like she kind of starts like freaking out a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was like, she's one of the girls. Like, she's one of the girls that we don't know.
That would have been a really good spin.
Yeah, and then at the end, she's like, oh, I'm going to stay with my parents. She, like, leaves a note. I'm going to stay with my parents for a little bit. And, like, this is when, like, Carly, like, figures everything out and is at the motel. And I was like, oh, she had to leave. And then they were just like, no, Heather is actually just a girl who really does live there. In my head, I was like, yo, she's one of the ghosts.
That is really good.
That's, I know. So, like, at the end, I was, like, waiting for it, and I was like, oh, no, Heather's not dead.
Heather is actually alive and kind of well.
There was, like, so I wish, like, I, like, had them all, like, highlighted in a specific color so I can, like, pull them all up, because I was like, oh, this girl's dead as dirt. And she would, like, say, like, really, like, weird. Okay, like, how old are we? And boys are not your ballywick, remember? Like, she would say, like, really old-timey things. And I was like, she's been dead for a while. No,
that would have been Simone. You missed a moment.
I know. I was like, oh yeah, this is it. I figured it out. Unfortunately, no. Unfortunately, Heather was alive. She wasn't a ghost.
I do think, again, I'm almost done with my this book of Simone's, and I have two more left. This was my favorite, and I think. It's because, well, I think the plot and the storyline were pretty cool. Again, I have some beef with, like, the fact that Viv turned herself in.
That's, like, a personal beef, not, like, a beef against the author.
And that's why I still kept my rating. So I was like, it's me.
Yeah.
Like, that's my problem. But I thought she balanced the paranormal in a very realistic, understanding manner. It's, yes. It's a haunting. Like, we hear of haunt, like, places, areas being haunted all the time. So I feel like even if you're not like, I don't believe in that shit, I think it's a little bit more believable than some of the other stories that she has.
I can't speak for her other books because I've only read this one by her. But I did like how the paranormal played a part.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, if you're not a paranormal person, like, yes, there's obviously ghosts, but it's not like overdone. And I think that, I mean, obviously, like, we spoiled it. So if you are planning on going to read it, like, hopefully you don't mind spoilers. Right. Yeah. I feel like sometimes people, like, listen because they want to know if they want to read something and they don't care about spoilers. It's very, like, to me, there was this, I wanted to know how everything like wrapped up, but like, you know, early on that Simon is the killer. Like, it's not like, there's not like a big reveal at the end. Like, oh my God, she had it wrong this whole time. Like, it's very obvious that this is him. It's just about like, can we prove it? And then what happened to Viv?
And I liked that though. Yeah. Like, not everything has to be like this Freda McFadden twist. And I'm saying that because I've been reading her books now. But you know what I mean? Like, we don't need those crazy spins.
And I feel like sometimes, like, there's just like, there's a crazy spin just for the sake of being a crazy twist. And it, like, then there's plot holes on, like, wait, how did this even happen? So, like, it didn't bother me specifically, like, that we knew. Like, I was actually, like, okay, I was more intrigued because I was like, okay, like, we know. But, like, how do we prove it?
How do we prove it?
That was, like, kind of, how do we prove that it's him? Like, we know it's him.
Yeah.
And, like, you're going insane because you're like, I know that it's him.
Especially because, like, obviously, Viv's whole storyline is literally following Viv and seeing everything she's seeing, hearing accounts. Like, she has everything compiled.
Yeah.
But, again, it's all just word of mouth.
What can you prove in a court of law? Especially in 1982, there's, like, DNA is, like, hard to prove. And, like, there's no, I mean, besides them being women, there's like no like real connection. So like, we know that he falls in love with Betty.
Yes.
And he becomes obsessed with her and she like is kind of like rejecting him and his advances. So he kills her.
And rapes her.
And rapes her as like a way to show that like how much he like loves her. I don't know. It's like crazy. Yeah. And that's why he keeps going back to the motel because when he's there, she freaks out. Yeah. And he like loves that, like
the reaction.
He's a very sick individual. He's always like Betty's mine. So he goes back to the motel.
I think he even says like in death she's still mine. Yes. I'm like, that's fucking creepy.
So he goes back to the motel to get this like reaction from her and to be able to like see her, I guess, in a way. Kathy is the other woman that he kills. She is a mother. She's a teacher. Her husband is in the military. He's deployed. And he just kills her because he wants to see if he's able to do it again.
Yep.
And then Victoria maybe is the other one.
The one whose boyfriend was first convicted, right? Yes. That was like, again, I think opportunity, but then he realized it was too out in the open.
Yeah, he was like too rash about it. He just like, she goes like to go for a run. He kills her like as soon as she gets onto the running path, she's like feet from her house and the body's kind of left out in the open. But it's raining and it's like hours before. So like the DNA and like footprints and everything is kind of like washed away. And they just assume it's her boyfriend because they had gotten into a fight. And then the last girl, Tracy, she's just like a senior in high school. He happens to see her while he's like out on his like door-to-door salesman route. And he like just stalks her and then eventually like kills her. There's like no like real rhyme or reason. He just like becomes like, he's just like, oh, I'm obsessed with, like, that's my next victim.
I can do it. So I'm going to do it. But you know what I love too? Like anyone who was being like questioned and or a suspect all of a sudden got really great lawyers. And that's when you find out Alma was stepping in to be like, nope, you're getting like, we know who did it. It was taken care of. Everyone else is going to get off because I'm going to get you great legal representation. Because there was a homeless man who happened to find one of the girls' backpacks and was being accused. So like, how does a homeless man pay for a really great lawyer to get him off? Like, you don't.
Yeah.
I just feel like the story, I liked that everything was wrapped up. There was no loose ends.
No.
Sure. Do we want a little bit more of a backstory from Nick? Yes. Was I a little crushed about Vivian turning herself in? Yes. But those are like just personal things. It wasn't like, I think her writing is fantastic.
Yeah. It was definitely like very intriguing. Like I found myself like very invested in the story, which like it's right now, like my entire brain capacity is going towards keeping a child alive. Oh, the fact that I was like, it took me longer to get through, but I was into it.
It's a big moment when you're like, when you're slumping, tired, and just like kind of like this newborn cycle. I feel like you need like, it's nice when you can finally find something to pull you out of it.
Yes. As I was finishing this book, another one of your recs became available on Libby.
It's the only one left. That was so fucking good.
No, it's, oh my God, wait, where did Libby go? Or Kindle. It is Not Quite Dead Yet. Holly Jackson.
That's a really good one.
I know that you really liked it, so I have not started it. I have accepted it onto the Kindle. So I'll probably start it like tonight or tomorrow.
Like, call me a bad parent. So Leah, say what you want, but like, to each their own for parenting. So Leah is a night owl. Leah, like, my daughter does not eat. She's the pickiest eater, but the girl crushes food at night. So like, even last night, she was still eating till 9:30 at night.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm sorry, if my daughter is eating,
You're not going to stop her. Yeah.
So like, she sits in front of her iPad. Again, say what you want. She's 2.5, but she watches only YouTube kid videos. And like, most of them, I will say, have some kind of educational component. Cause like, the, what she's learning, repeating and doing, it's fine. She's sitting there, like, she sits at night, she eats her snacks. And like, I'll never forget, I was reading Not Quite Dead Yet. I looked at the time, maybe a little bit of bad parenting here. It was 9:45. Granted, even if I turn her iPad off at 8:30, she's still up with me till 9:30. Like,
yeah.
No matter what. She's sick this week, so different story. She's been passing out at like 8:30.
Poor baby.
But like, again, so I'm like, so if I'm gonna just like, and she won't talk, like, she'll just kind of like stare at me and be like,
yeah,
can I go back to my iPad now? I'm like, oh my god, you 13-year-old bitch, shut up.
Yeah, literally.
So like, sometimes I let her go, but like, at one point, even Tom Roller goes, it's late, ladies, and I'm like, I have to finish this book.
Leave me alone.
When you're done, we're gonna talk about the ending. I'm not quite dead yet.
Hopefully I finish by next week. Okay, so guys, you have to just bear with us over the next few weeks with the holidays and with the baby and with Katie's kids. Like, just trying to find a time to record. It might not be every Wednesday, but like, we'll put out the episodes we said we're gonna do. It might just be like a day or two late.
And that was my fault this week. Both my kids have been sick, and I haven't had childcare for some days for 2 weeks. I feel like I'm living in, I don't want to say hell, but like, when you're trying to work,
yeah,
and like raise humans that are like, not, they need supervision. I'm ready to be done.
I don't blame you.
I had daycares the other day. I was like, I don't know if I can do this.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. I actually have to call daycares. It's like every Monday, I'm like, I'm going to call. Cause I'm like, I have to figure out what I'm going to do with my kid when I go back to work in March. But anyhow.
Oh, but wait, I just want to say, so I have been slacking on their posts. I want to, because I've gone down the rabbit hole of some thrillers. They're not horrors. They're pretty like light, airy, good twists and turns. I am going to kind of put a post of like my favorites that I've been reading so far.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I'll limit myself to 2 or 3 Simone St. James books. But I do want to put a couple out there, because there's been some really fantastic ones that I'm like, this is fucking good.
I need to do a lot of posts too. I have ideas, and then I'm like, I get him down for a nap and I'm like, I just want to lay down.
I feel like nothing has sparked a creative thought. But now, since I'm dwindling on the Simone St. James, I have a fun idea for like finishing the backlog of an author, a post for like some good, like some fun thriller recs. I'm like laughing too, because I'm like, bitch, it's Christmas. I haven't picked up a Christmas read. I am going to do Megan Quinn's
follow-up.
I think I might like, I'm thinking. I've done 2 Freida McFadden books, and we will talk about Freida McFadden a little bit next week, because I have some things to say.
I have only read 2 of her books, and I think I've said it on the podcast. Like, I just don't think she's a good writer.
No.
Okay.
We'll talk.
We'll talk. We have to talk.
They're not bad stories.
It's the writing that's a little.
And I think I know why. I figured this out, Teresa Marie. So we will dissect this next week. But yeah, I have a couple of other like authors that are in the thriller. I'm really loving this thriller author for myself. So I don't know what I'm
talking about. Oh, are you? You haven't told us about it yet.
I haven't shut the fuck up about it. But I feel like the post ideas are finally coming back to me. I was in a rut.
I've been in a rut. Again, when I was, like, in Colorado, like, I couldn't really do them unless I was, like, making things. I mean, tomorrow's my birthday. I normally have, like, a birthday post, like, ready to go. And like, today I was like, oh, my God, like, I have nothing.
Oh, my God, I have a good idea. Okay, I'm going to text you because I think I have a good idea.
Okay. But anyway, guys, my birthday's tomorrow, Friday, December 12th. And it's also the first 2 episodes of the Taylor Swift Eras documentary. So that's what I'm going to be doing in the morning. Heated Rivalry, new episodes every Friday, also. Okay, first of all, really quick, I'm going to talk about the show next week in depth. Heated Rivalry, you guys, I read almost 3 years ago, and I feel like no one was taking me seriously when I was recommending it. And now that the show's out and everybody loves it, everyone's reading it now. And I just want to say, I don't want to be like, oh, like, it, it wasn't me. Like, I did not discover this book whatsoever, the series. But if you didn't listen to me 3 years ago, and now you're reading it because of the show, like, just give me credit, please. Okay?
I love it.
Anyway, next week we will be spilling the tea. Then we're taking a break, obviously, because of the Christmas holidays, which we celebrate. And then we'll be rounding out the year with our yearly roundup. So just stay tuned for that, because I feel like
I gotta work on that.
This year has been good and bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I might do like my favorites and like maybe a few of my least favorites. Maybe I'll get a little nasty. Maybe I'll get a little nasty. Not like mean to the author, but like mean to the books.
Yes.
Yeah. Cause there's a few that I like really fucking hated this year. So stay tuned for those two episodes, and then stay tuned for January schedule eventually when we have time to put one out.
We'll think of something. I do think I have a good, at least, romance rec.
Okay. I don't even know what's coming out.
Courtesy of Shan's Library.
Okay. Oh.
She sent me it. She's like, I've been seeing some recommendations for this, and like the ratings are 4.3. So ooh. Like, consider
me. You know, I'm a romance girl, so.
I know. Well, that's why I was like, maybe we kick off the year back to our roots.
Yes. I need a good romance. I need it to heal my soul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll let you know it's considered.
Okay. All right. On that note, Katie Jean, do you mind doing us the honors of sending us out?
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.